There's our school bell, and you're now in the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this is a special class session today, because this is class session number 400. That means that if you listen to this program today, by the time you get to the end of this program, your superintendent, that is me, Bill Boyd, I will have been teaching you the Bible from this Radio Bible School for 100 hours. That's kind of a milestone here in this school. I know I am enjoying this, and I hope you're enjoying these Bible studies. I enjoy going back and looking at these old Sunday school lessons that we're bringing. And I'll try to remind everyone at every class that this Radio Bible School comes to you by way of the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Now, that is important. It's the Church of Christ. Since this is program number 400, and this is going to make 100 hours, let me speak just a little bit to you about what we're talking about when we say the Church of Christ. Because I know many, when they hear that, think, oh, that denomination. But I wonder if it would be possible for you to think just a moment with me about the possibility of there being a church that is not a denomination. Is that hard to conceive in your mind? I know it is for many, because we live in such a world of denominationalism that you just naturally think, well, a church is part of a denomination. But did you know there was a time when that was not so? And you'll readily agree with me on this, I know, and it'll be delight. It's just like a light coming on when you realize it. That when Jesus said that I will build my church, and we see that the apostles go forth and preach the gospel into all the world, and people responded to that gospel and repented of their sins and were baptized into Christ, that God added them to his church. And he did not add them to any denomination. It would be very presumptuous for any denomination to say, now, when God added people to his church, he was adding them to our denomination. Well, these denominations that we see so prevalent today did not even exist at that time. They came much later as men began to teach diverse doctrines, and a lot of times it was really a division among preachers, more so even than among the members. One preacher would get this idea, and he'd start harping on a particular idea and a particular plan that would either add something to the teachings of the New Testament, or it would take something away from the teachings of the New Testament. And then the followers of that preacher would form themselves into a denomination. Sometimes those denominations even carry the names of those who were so outspoken in this regard. I'm thinking of the Lutherans. You know, Martin Luther did not want people calling him by his name, but the followers of Luther would say, oh, that's who we are. We're following Luther, and so we are Lutherans. And thus we have the Lutheran denomination. And so it is with the history of all denominations. They come from leaving the teachings of the New Testament and zeroing in and gravitating on peculiar doctrines or organizations or practices that are of men and of things that are left off out of the New Testament. Now, wouldn't it be great if you could just be a church like the church in the New Testament, to not add anything to the gospel nor take anything away from it, but just teach that Bible truth? Now, that's easier said than done, because a lot of us carry a lot of ideas with us, and sometimes we think they're Bible truths, and it takes study to see, oh, but now I realize that's not in the Bible. And honest men will then abandon those things that they cannot verify and affirm from the Scriptures. And if there's things the Scriptures teach that they have not been teaching, then honest men, too, will begin teaching the things that are taught in the New Testament. Just think about it, how it was in the days of the New Testament. They would hear the gospel, and with that hearing of the gospel, evidence would be presented for them so that they could believe. A lot of times the evidence was simply the testimony of those who were speaking. They would speak of those things which they had seen and heard, and very often That testimony was backed up by miracles and signs and wonders that they did to confirm that word. But many who believed had never seen those miracles and signs and wonders. They had only heard about them, as we have done when we read about them in the Bible. And then hearing, they believed. And so the gospel was preached. The gospel was heard. The gospel was believed. And those who believed the gospel responded to that gospel in the way that God set forth. They were told to turn from every other way and to follow Christ. They couldn't be a Christian and continue to follow Zeus. They couldn't be a Christian and then follow the old pagan ideas and pagan religions at the same time. They couldn't be a Christian and continue to follow in the law of Moses, for that had been done away. And so the gospel was preached, the gospel was heard, the gospel was believed, and then men turned from every other way to follow Christ and to seek Him first and to seek Him only. And so that is repentance. They would repent. If they were doing things amiss, they would repent of their sins. And if they were following any other way, they would turn to follow Christ. But they were not saved simply on the basis of their repentance. No, they had to have believed and then repent. And then Jesus says, if you confess my name before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And Paul writes that confession is made unto salvation. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We read that story of the Ethiopian that was traveling with Philip. And when they came to a certain water, they said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said to the Ethiopian, if thou believest, thou mayest. And you know there was some kind of response to that. I know a lot of the modern Bibles, due to the way that they approach the text and refine things in the text, often refine things right out of the text that these scholars and all don't believe really was in the original text. And so the confession that the eunuch made, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is quite often not in the text of these modern Bibles. But if you will look, it is almost always in the margin or in the footnote, because there is evidence that the eunuch said that. There are quotations of that are older than the oldest text and the oldest manuscripts from which they compile these texts. And they say they're quoting from the book of Acts in those quotations. And also we know that there was some kind of response made to Philip. Philip says to the eunuch, if thou believest, thou mayest. Well, then they were baptized. So some kind of response was made to Philip concerning the faith of that eunuch. And knowing that we're to confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, even if it wasn't in that text, we would know what the eunuch did. He would confess that he believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so the gospel is preached, and the gospel is heard, and the gospel is believed. And then men repent to obey the gospel and turn from every other way. And then they confess their faith in Christ. But then it says they were baptized. In fact, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, that's what Peter told them to do. And they were baptized for a reason. For the remission of your sins. And so even though they had already believed in Acts chapter 2 and had said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter didn't say, well, don't do anything. You already believed. You just let go and let God and don't do anything. No. No, Peter told them what they would do to be saved. They are to repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And having those sins remitted, then we read down at the end of that chapter that God added them to His church. Now, they did not have to join some denomination. God knew what He was doing. And those who heard, believed, and obeyed the gospel by repentance, confession, and baptism, God added them to His church. He didn't put them in the wrong church. God would not make a mistake like that. And he did not put them in a denomination. But now they're part of God's people. And those people that had been added to God's church would gather themselves together in local assemblies. And while they were gathered together, they would worship much like they did in the synagogues. They would sing. They would read from and study their Bibles. They would pray. They would give so that that work of that local church could go forth, and they could use that work in benefit to others. And they did something else that was not done in the synagogues. They would partake of the Lord's Supper. And they would do it every time they met on the first day of the week. It's on the first day of every week when they were to lay by in store. And so we know how often they were gathering together. It was every week. And they would come together for the purpose of taking the Lord's Supper. And while they were there, they would worship, as I said, much the way they had done in the synagogues. Although this was a much more joyous worship than they had in those synagogues, because now they were worshiping a Redeemer that had come, and they were enjoying the blessings of their salvation. Now, there was no denomination, and we never read of anyone in the New Testament ever joining a denomination after they got saved. Those very words, got saved and join a denomination, they're not Bible words or Bible way of saying things. That's denominational way of saying things. And so that's what they did. Now, here's the wonderful thing. We look back on that and see the simplicity and the beauty of that. Hear, believe, obey the gospel, be added to his church, and worship together in a local assembly. Now, if they did that then, we can do that today. And we can be the same thing they were. And forget this whole idea of denominationalism. Just keep things Bible simple, like the Bible says. While we can hear the gospel, we can believe, we can obey, and then God will add us to his church. And we can gather together with others that have been added to God's church and worship him the way they did in the New Testament, without ever joining a denomination. We read in Romans chapter 16:16 that those churches were called churches of Christ. It was not really a name, and it certainly wasn't even an exclusive designation of what those churches were, but that is the way that Paul described them. And so when we say the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff, let me tell you what we're talking about. We're talking about a group of people that have heard, believed, and obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that have been added to God's church, and that come together and worship him and work together and encourage one another in a local assembly, just like they did in the New Testament. And so that was not a denomination in the New Testament, and it is not a denomination now. You want to see how we do that? You come visit us sometime. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola, at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And what we're going to continue doing in this school is focusing in on what the Bible teaches. We'll be reading from the Bible and reading old Sunday school lessons that were written to help us guide us. But these old lessons we read are not the authority. It's the Bible itself. And this preacher is certainly not the authority. But it's the things taught out of the scriptures that we want to find. Come visit us, and we'll say like Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you.